funny. Okay, let's all stand on our feet. We're going to read verse 1, 2, and 3.
Uh-oh.
Was that like Skittles? Skittles just like flew. Oh, there it is.
Uh-oh. Squish it.
I'll step on it.
Do it.
Okay. Paul, called to be an apostle of Jesus Christ through the will of God, and Sosthenes our brother, to the church of God which is at Corinth, to those who are sanctified in Christ Jesus, called to be saints, with all who in every place call on the name of Jesus Christ our Lord, both theirs and ours. Verse 3, grace to you and peace from God our Father and the Lord Jesus Christ. Let's pray. Dear Lord, we are thankful for this opportunity we have to come together as your family of believers and to study your word together as one group. And we pray that you would speak to us, Lord, speak to us in the way that you know we need to hear you. We pray that we would be undistracted by anything in this room or in our minds or whatever is going on outside, but that we would be able to focus fully on everything that you have for us today, and that we would grow deeper in you and deeper in our understanding of who you are as our God and as our King. We pray all of this in your name, and all of God's people said,
amen.
Amen. Have a seat, everybody. So, we are starting a new series today. We're starting a new book, new series. And what's cool about this is it's going to be just on Sundays. We're going to be moving through this book only on Sundays. Normally in the past, for summertime, I would do one series and I would do Sunday, Wednesday, Sunday, Wednesday, Sunday, Wednesday. So it goes a little quicker. But we are just going to do this on Sunday. So here's what's cool about that. If you come Wednesdays, we're going to be able to focus on our own thing Wednesdays and kind of do our own thing, give specific time to that and specific things that are going on Wednesdays. Like right now we're doing the leader introductions, and it was super good last Wednesday. We heard from Bailey and Hudson. Wednesday we're going to hear from Chris and Kyla. That's a really cool thing going on Wednesdays. But Sundays we'll be doing 1 Corinthians. And if you're not able to make it Wednesdays, you won't miss anything on 1 Corinthians because we're just doing it Sundays. So pretty cool. I think it's going to be good. And we're going to move through 1 Corinthians in a different way than we've done any book before together. This is our first big book that we're going to do verse by verse, chapter by chapter. So Daniel was our last pretty big book, but we didn't do it verse by verse, chapter by chapter. We did it more theme by theme. So we would take like a whole chapter and then boil down like here's what the main theme is. And then we'd take like a whole couple chapters and say here's the main theme. And then we took like the whole section of prophecy and said here's what it says all together. But what's cool about 1 Corinthians is we may not study every single verse individually, but we are going to read every verse and really study probably each specific theme that Paul writes about, and we're going to focus in on it all. So we're going to dive super deep, and I think it's going to be super good. So some of you that might sound like, oh, that's so boring, we're moving through a book really slow, and what if it gets boring and stuff, dude? But trust me, it's going to be good, it's going to be fun, it's going to be fast-paced, even though it's like a slow movement through it all. And then also, like, we're going to be able to take our sweet time. Like, there isn't a church on the other side of the town, like on the other side of Modesto, that just started 1 Corinthians today, and we're not, like, racing them. You know, there's no competition to finish first. So we're just going to be able to take our sweet time, get as much as we can from it, grow as much as we can from it, and then do it all together, which I think will be super awesome, a super good opportunity for us to grow together. So I want to start out looking at some background info of Corinthians. You know, like, if you ever pick up a book and just start reading it, it can be, like, hard to understand, like, what's going on. Especially books, like, by Lewis Carroll. Do you guys know who that is? He's the writer of Alice in Wonderland. You think those movies are crazy? If you pick up his book and just started reading and didn't know anything about him, you would be like, this guy is insane and probably did drugs for his whole life and never stopped. Like, literally, because he is insane and the stuff that he writes is so, like, out of this world that you cannot comprehend it. And so we have to get background. We have to understand who it's written to, what it's about, what's going on here, so that we get an idea of really how to understand this book. So first thing that you need to understand is this is a letter. 1 Corinthians, though it's, we call it books, like we break the Bible into books, it's a letter. And it's a casual letter where it's like, dear dot 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 from dot dot dot. Like, there's a sender and there's a receiver, just like any ordinary level letter, and it was sent out like a letter. And it was written to Corinth. It's from Paul to Corinth. And now, what we need to know about Corinth is that it was the happening city at the time. Corinth is a city in Greece, and it was huge, and it was happening. And everybody who was anybody was going to Corinth, because Corinth was like that hip urban sprawl, like kind of like a San Francisco, maybe a LA, maybe New York, kind of that, just like, maybe it's not a big city, but the amount of people in that city is huge, and the influence that city has is huge. So kind of like San Francisco, it's packed. Everybody hears San Francisco and they get this idea of like hippies or like crazy people yelling at you when you're just trying to get a coffee. Like, you know, it's that big happening city. And this letter that Paul writes is a response to a letter from a really young baby church that really is just getting on its feet in the city of Corinth. And they wrote a letter to Paul talking about some difficulties that they were having as young Christians trying to like get along in this world. And then they also asked him some basic but super duper important questions. And though these questions are basic, it doesn't mean that they're obvious. Though these concepts that can be basic and fundamental to a Christian's walk with Jesus, it doesn't mean that they're obvious. Because our human nature is not naturally inclined to some of the concepts that they ask Paul about, to some of these basic concepts that they ask Paul. And then Paul replies to them with a letter. And Paul answers their questions, and he encourages them and challenges them in the difficulties and mistakes that they were making at that time. And that letter that Paul writes as a reply to that baby church in Corinth is 1 Corinthians, the book that you are holding in your hands, that you are looking at with your own eyes right now. It's so cool. And so, and kind of in response to that, I have titled this series, Frequently Asked Questions, FAQ. Fact, yes. This is, okay, do you guys know about this? Like when you go onto a website and it's really confusing, and so you log on to the Frequently Asked Questions page, and then it's like, how do you log in? And then they give you the answer, how do you find the search button? And then they're like, right here, you're dumb. Like, but sometimes these things aren't super obvious, and so we need to go to the Frequently Asked Questions that everybody else is asking to get those basic answers. And so, 1 Corinthians is like us in life as Christians being able to log on to a Frequently Asked Questions website and get those basic answers. Where is the search bar? How do I get into this website? How do I understand what's going on here? How do I like search my friend? How do I search this? How do I like copy a photo? Whatever it may be. The frequently asked questions of Christians trying to grow deeper in their walk with God. And we're getting those answers straight from Paul the Apostle. And this is going to be an awesome book for us, because Paul is basically going to take us under his wing. And like, this is his wing, in case you were wondering. He's going to take us under his wing and just show us how to live as Christians in a pagan, evil, fallen world. Which, it sounds so basic, but it's so important. And it's something that as humans who aren't inclined with these basic instincts of how to live holiness, how to live out purity, how to abstain from evil things in this world, It's things that we as Christians just need to be shown. We just need to be shown how to do it. Just like we needed to be shown how to take a fork and put it in our mouth, we have to be shown how to live out these basic Christian aspects of life. So, as we move through this book, it's pretty interesting. We're going to cover some things like church division. We're going to cover things like purity, how to live a pure life as a Christian. Things like liberties, things that aren't black and white in Scripture, that maybe you have the right to do it, but maybe you shouldn't do it as a Christian, or maybe someone else shouldn't do it, but you can do it as a Christian. We're going to talk about how religion plays into that. We're going to talk about marriage, what God's standard for marriage is. We're going to talk about like relationships, romantic relationships, how to honor God in a romantic relationship. We're going to talk about communion, taking the Lord's Supper the way He wanted us to do it. We're going to talk about spiritual gifts, like basic spiritual gifts. It's so cool because when we get to the spiritual gifts section, Paul is like, here's the spiritual gifts. Here's what they look like. Here's how to know if you have them. Dot, like mic drop. And then we're going to look at, of course, finally, we will be looking at love. Love is the answer. Just kidding. But, I mean, it is pretty much the end of the letter is love. So, it's really cool. We're covering so much. And all of that is really important stuff for us to know as Christians. But things that can get confusing, things that can get watered down in this world that we live in. So, I believe that this is going to be an excellent opportunity for myself, for you guys, for the leaders as well, to grow deeper in our walks with God and to really understand what it means to be and to be a Christian and to love and serve God. But today, I'm not just going to talk about how excited I am about studying FAQ, the new series in 1 Corinthians, but we're actually going to do like a little bit of a study. We're going to look at those first three verses. So today, for our focus, I want to identify two main important components of this letter, because 1 Corinthians is a letter. And these main components, without them, the letter would not exist. Literally, it could not exist without them. And those are the sender and the receiver. These are basic forms of communication. I just started a communications class this semester, and it's a really like weird study. It's like it seems really obvious, but like when you boil communications down, all it is someone sending and someone receiving. And it gets more complicated because technically we're always sending and we're always receiving, so it gets kind of weird. But the sender and the receiver is what we're going to focus on today. So we're just going to look at two points. First, the sender, and then second, the receiver. And receiver, if you're taking notes, that is a tricky word. So I wrote it on the board because I always do R-E-C-I-E-V-E-R. Like, I get it mixed up. I know, but I always think that it's that the rule is canceled in that word for some reason. And I always get it wrong. So, if you're taking notes, we got them there. Just for your reference. Or if you're studying for a spelling bee, there you go. Spelling bees are crazy. Just so you know. One time, this is a side note. One time, I watched the International Spelling Bee on ESPN. Like, I watched it for a whole summer long and actually kept up with it. And these kids are crazy. They'll be given a word like hapadakawakachika. And they're like, will you give me the Greek root of that? And they're like, hapadikawakachika. The root is hapadika. And then they're like, QRPOOCVDDUDUBA. And I'm like, how do you do that? It's not a real word. I made up. Because the word? I can't remember. Yeah, Grace?
My friend is like an amazing speller. And back in elementary school, she got past the school spelling book. So she won out of the school. And she won out of the. She won
district.
Whoa, Grace has a friend who almost got out of the county. That's crazy. That's actually really good. Spelling? Wow, we've got a speller in the house. Okay. Okay, so back to the thing. Sorry. So the sender. Does anybody know who the sender of our letter is? Anybody know? Starts with a P, ends with a... Yeah. Paul, yeah. Verse 1 says, Paul, called to be an apostle of Jesus Christ through the will of God. Paul is by far the most famous apostle, which is interesting because he's one of the few apostles who didn't actually spend time as a disciple under Jesus. Almost everybody knows something about the writings of Paul. Even if they don't know that it's Paul, and they don't know that it's like a Christian writing, they usually, most people know something about Paul, something that he has written. And that's because Paul, he is not just an incredible theologian, he's not just an incredible Christian thinker, but Paul, overall, was an incredibly brilliant mind. Like, beyond what I think most of us really comprehend, Paul was incredibly smart to where he was supporting his arguments for Jesus and arguments for his walk with God with incredible logical reasoning that was really beyond his time. He was breaking into things that philosophers spend their time thinking about all the time. And Paul was just doing it to support what he's passionate about. So Paul was a very brilliant mind. And not just Christians would say that, but every person who has read enough literature would admit that Paul is a brilliant mind. He wrote 14 letters in the Bible. So there's 14 that we call them Pauline epistles. Pauline, I don't know why, but if you ever write enough letters, I guess you'll get... Like, I'll get some Isaacine letters named after me. I don't know. But they're called Pauline letters, Pauline epistles, and he has 14 of them, and most of them were written while he was in prison, chained to a guard, which is crazy. And, yeah, he was, because their prison system is a lot different than ours, where instead of the guard just, like, watching them, making sure they don't get out, the guard would be shackled to them, connected, so that anywhere Paul went, the guard had to go. Or anywhere the guard went, Paul had to go. So yes, if Paul went to the bathroom, the guard was right there. So gross. Yeah.
So it's like the guard is practically in jail.
The guard is practically in jail, but he gets benefits from it because he's working for the government, technically. Yeah, kind of. But the guard probably ate food and stuff and, like, actually lived a normal life. Just had, like, a 9-to-5 where he was chained to a prisoner. Kind of a weird situation. Paul wrote this letter to the Corinthian church most likely while he was in Ephesus. So the book of Ephesians is written to the church of Ephesus. Paul wrote this while he was probably in Ephesus. And Ephesus is also a crazy city of its own, but we can get into that at another time. He was also a crazy, legendary missionary. This guy was a boss. He went all around what they knew as their world at the time, because they hadn't really discovered the whole world as a whole. But what they knew as their world, he was going all over and preaching the gospel. And then he would raise up a Christian, train them in leadership and in guidance, and then hand the church off to them, or hand it off to someone that he's been discipling for a while. And then he'd go somewhere else and then do the same thing. And then he'd like hand it off and then go somewhere else. And then he'd come back and visit this church and then go over there. And then he started writing letters to everyone because he started to get put in prison and stuff. He was crazy. This guy was a legend, like a living legend. I feel like I get this vision of Paul that he would have been the type of dude who is like a world traveler, but super chill about it, kind of like a surfer that travels the world. So he'd be like, oh dude, I was just in Ephesus the other day and like caught some gnarly pounders, and then I like led the people to the Lord. Like, I feel like he'd be like that, you know, like, or he'd be like rock climbing because he traveled. I don't know. I don't know why, but I get that. I get this image that he's also like some extreme athlete for some reason. Oh, it's weird. That's not biblical. That's just some weird thing that happens in my head when I talk about Paul. And then we can see most of his ministry. If you're like doubting me, what I'm saying, you can look up most of Paul's missionary ministry and church planting ministry in the latter half of the book of Acts. So like Acts 10, 12, and onward, you'll be able to see what goes on there. So what's interesting about this, though, is that Paul was not always this way. Do you guys know who Paul was before he was Paul?
Yes.
What we call him, or what was his name? Saul. Yes, he changed one letter of his name. But this guy was crazy. And we can read about Saul's conversion to Paul in Acts 9. But we need to understand who Saul was. Saul was a Christian persecutor. So his duty, what he did, his duty, what he did was he went around the nations killing Christians who admitted to believe in Christ. Literally, that is what he did. And it's not just like he did it a few times. This guy was basically a mass murderer in what he did. So he would go to cities, break into the homes of people who professed to be Christians, drag them out of their homes, out of the security of their home, and then probably take them to the middle of the city and then do whatever they felt like doing to hurt them or kill them. So if it was stoning, if it was whipping, beating, kicking, whatever it may have been, Paul would have been really the culprit behind all of this. We see, Saul, same person, different time. We see Saul in the book of Acts at Stephen's death, who was a missionary. He was like leading a whole bunch of people to the Lord, incredible guy. And then people get a hold of him, they take him to the middle of the town, and they stone him to death. And so people wouldn't get sweaty. They would take their jackets off and leave them with a person. And guess who that person is who's standing on the sidelines holding people's jackets so they don't get sweaty while they kill Stephen? It was Saul. How crazy is that? This guy, like, let me put this into terms for you. If Saul was still alive and doing what he did, we would have alarms go off if he came anywhere near our city, because our lives would be in danger. We would have to retreat. We would have to leave our home, everything we own behind us, or we would be murdered for what we have claimed to be. Saul was a horrible person. Nobody liked Saul. Well, people that weren't Christian liked Saul. But no Christian liked Saul. Christians feared Saul for their lives. He was a horrible person. But then he's on the road to Damascus, and he's going there to kill Christians. And then Jesus appears to him in the flesh. This is not a vision. It's the real Jesus appears to him and says, "Saul, Saul, why are you persecuting me?" And then we know how it is from there. He falls on his face. There's a painting made where he falls off a horse, and so now we think that he falls off a horse, but there's nothing biblical about that. And then he gets up, goes to the city, he's blind, and then he becomes Paul, and then he's like a church planter, and everybody knows. You guys know the story. He's incredible now. But here's what I think is interesting. His name is changed from Saul, which meant desire. So kind of like, my name is Saul, I'm so desired, everybody looks up to me, I'm an incredible person. Like, it's kind of like GQ, like Saul was super GQ. Do you guys know what that means? Like super, that's like a men's magazine for fashion. So Saul would have been like on the cover of GQ because he was desired. Saul was like, GQ does this thing where it's like the hottest man of the year or something. And Saul would have been that. He would have been because he was desired. But then his name changes to Paul. And even though it's just one letter, Paul means small or little. So he goes from being this prideful person who was like looked up to, I'm so desired, to being, I'm just Paul. I'm pretty small, no big deal. Nobody else, don't make a big deal out of me. I'm just little Paul. Like, I think that's so funny. Yeah, Jared, do you have a question? He who shall rule. My name means laughter. Kind of cool. But once Saul's name is changed to Paul, he becomes an apostle. And what that means, what an apostle is a person who is sent by Jesus. And it's a little different because you could say, but as Christians, aren't we all sent? So aren't we all apostles? No, because a Christian is sent to proclaim the gospel, to share the gospel. But an apostle is given a direct call by Jesus to present the gospel specifically. And then he's also given gifts to support the gospel. And some people were able to do it in different ways. Most apostles were able to perform miracles that gave credit to the gospel. Some were able to construct incredible logical arguments that gave support to the gospel, like Paul. And Paul also could perform miracles as well. So then the question is the gift of the apostle around today? The New Testament does hint that it is around today, but it would be really rare, because you seldom have people who say, I accepted the Lord and the physical form of Jesus appeared before me and told me exactly what to do and gave me the exact skills necessary to complete it. Usually things play out differently in the lives of Christians, but it definitely could happen today. That's what the New Testament shows us. So that is Paul. Paul is an apostle. Paul is a man who goes around the world spreading the gospel and raising up church leaders in new churches. And now we get to the receiver. Who received this letter? Who was it to? It was really to two main groups that this letter was written to. The first group is the church in Corinth. Verse 2 says, to the church of God, which is at Corinth. Now that can sound really basic. So yeah, obviously it's written to the Christians who are in Corinth. Yeah, it makes sense. They probably gathered under a tent, or maybe they met in a house, or maybe they actually had their own building. But we have to understand who the church in Corinth is and what Corinth really is, because it is crazy. So Corinth was a huge city. And it was a huge city that was known worldwide for being evil. Corinth was a notoriously evil place. It was a huge city in Greece, and it was known for being the worst place around. Literally. It was so bad that the word Corinthian at that time became an adjective for something that is really, really bad. So if someone did something rude or annoying, people would be like, oh, you're such a Corinthian. And that was an insult. That was a huge insult. So that would be like Stockton. You guys know Stockton? It's like really known for being a bad place, right? Like, I mean, if you're from Stockton, I am not against you. It's Stockton. But so imagine you're in Stockton, imagine you're in Modesto, and then you're driving with your parents, and someone cuts you off, like gets in front of you, and they act like you weren't even there. You'd be like, you're such a Stocktonian. And that would be like the worst burn out there. That's how Corinth was. It was a really bad place. In the book of Romans, when Paul wrote that, he was in Corinth, and he writes about sin and a lot of bad things that people do, and people think that he was inspired to write that by looking out his window and seeing what was going on in Corinth. Like, he was like, there's a whole bunch of bad people around me, people are breaking in and stealing, someone just like stole a woman's purse right outside, everybody's drunk, and it was a super bad place. And so the people of Corinth had to look and say, as they're coming out of their life as Corinthians, and they had to look and learn what it means to live as Christians in the church. And as they started coming into Christianity, into the church, they were still engaged in things like drunkenness, sexual immorality, division in the church. People in the church were suing each other. How weird is that? Yeah, like suing, like you made me fall, now I'm gonna sue you for all your, I'm gonna sue you and take all your money. Yeah, it's crazy. And so these Christians needed to learn just basic fundamentals of Christianity. And this is what Paul writes to them about in 1 Corinthians. But it's not only to them. The second group it is to is all Christians everywhere at all times. In verse 2 he says, with all who in every place call on the name of the Lord Jesus. So what that means is this isn't only to the church of Corinth, but it is to every Christian everywhere at any time. Paul knew when he wrote these words in Corinthians that every Christian will need to learn from these and will need to grow in these all throughout their lives. And will need to understand these things all throughout their lives, because these are things that as humans will be constantly up against. Things that we'll have to understand in new and different ways. So now, I want to come to a close, because we see that this letter, it's written, though it is directly to the church in Corinth, it is written to us. Paul even says it in verse 2. Yes, you have a question?
Is Corinth that one place that just chose for salvation?
No, that is Nineveh. That's, I mean, very similar though, because they were both notoriously bad, but like 500 years apart, so kind of different. So as we come to a close, I want to look at the last verse we covered, verse 3. It says, grace to you and peace from God our Father and the Lord Jesus Christ. Paul is giving us a thing called foreshadowing to the whole book. What that's called, it's a tool writers use when they, like at the beginning of their writing, at the beginning of the book, they give you like a little hint of what you're going to get from this book or what you're going to get from this essay. And Paul says, grace to you and peace from God our Father and the Lord Jesus Christ. Pastor Chuck, the person who founded the Calvary Chapel movement, like he planted a church and raised up mature Christians, and then they went and planted churches and raised up mature Christians, and they went and planted churches and raised up mature Christians, and we are one of those churches. Pastor Chuck wrote a book called Why Grace Changes Everything. And the point is that grace is the transforming power in the life of a Christian. And this is Paul's point as well. Grace to you. So if we get God's grace and really understand it, it has a power that will transform every single aspect of our Christian life. And as Christians, the Christian life takes over every aspect. And then Paul is saying, once that grace transforms you, you will be able to live in peace, because living a life transformed by grace produces peace in the life of a Christian. So this is what we have to look forward to as we start studying this book. Learning God's grace, understanding it, being transformed by it, and then receiving peace. Because us and anyone else in the world, we are always wrestling with peace. We're always stressed about something, always worried, always anxious, always depressed, you know, whatever it may be. And Paul is saying, if we allow grace to do what it's meant to do in our lives, we will receive peace. And we will be able to rest in that. Let me pray for us, and then you guys will be free to go. And we'll continue from verse 4 next week. And we look forward to that. Dear Lord, we thank you for the opportunity we have to study your word together, to grow deeper together. We pray that we would be able to look forward with excitement as we learn to understand your grace, learn to understand your love, and then be transformed by it, and then able to rest in your peace, Lord. So as we move through this book, help us to commit to one thing each week, Lord, one thing that we can chew on, one thing that we can apply to our lives and really allow it to transform us. I pray that the things we cover in 1 Corinthians will really transform our lives for the rest of our lives, Lord, that this wouldn't just be a quick series that we get through and kind of forget about, but that there will be things that each of us, myself, the leaders, all the kids in here as well, something that we can take with us the rest of our lives. And we pray all of this in your name. And all of God's people said,
amen.